Hi, I'm Fuller. This is a panel on language, cyberspace, and the future. It is a go, right? Yeah, okay. Okay, this actually ties in very well with the whole DragonCon of anybody who is a writer, anybody who watches sci-fi, or anybody who has ever taken an English course of any type, and has to write a paper on anything technology-related, sci-fi, fantasy, or anything like that. Why exactly do words develop? A lot of what I have is technology-related stuff, such as smileys and emoticons and stuff like that you type in emails. Just general discussion here is going to be about the language, different where it's come about, and how it changes and stuff like that. You want to just introduce yourself?
I'm Nimrod. Actually, what he said about the panel, but I actually have a lot to say because I've been on AOL for 8 years, unfortunately. And if you go into a chat room, there's a lot of that BRB and BBS.
Or you see stuff like on the top on the.
All the little Lido hacksaws that think they're cool in the little elite rooms. And they got their little proggies. But, so, I guess I've been around it a while.
Okay. I'm Lothar. The first time I actually recognized dude speak was in one of the when Zane might go to the 2600 homepage and they have the archive of the hacked homepages, they'll save them on fire, whatever. This was the first time I actually encountered dude speak, and really though I thought there was some sort of I was trying to look for some sort of code, actually some sort of encrypted code, and then I finally realized, oh, 4 means A, okay. So, as far as language cyberspace goes, script key language is probably most obvious because you have the emoticons and you also have the weird alphabet. But also, language in cyberspace, even that of English usage, I suppose from my own experience, tries to transcend what we're used to in, say, day-to-day print, anything from Time Magazine, newspapers, and so forth. And maybe we can carry the panel in that direction, too.
I guess one thing, first question, has anybody ever seen any writing like what I have on the top up there before? Yeah, okay, I can see there's a general consensus. You can immediately spot that, as they've said, as a script kiddie, mainly because they think they are really great, but in reality they are not. They are one of the lowest forms, almost below crackers and other criminals. But I have a couple of other things I can pull up here really quickly.
I had one band that's doing this so bad I started collecting them as art.
Well, I don't know.
Has anyone seen the macros you can make with AOL? You know, people make the little macros out of like slashes and punctuation marks. They're really cool. They actually can be pretty cool.
Do we have light control? People can see this without killing their eyes.
Sorry, I'm not exactly conscious.
Don't worry, neither the rest of us.
Yeah. I'm looking here out of my right ear.
Don't go to concerts. What I have here is just a few of the basic emoticons. Emoticons came about in the 70s and actually 60s, when people started writing email, electronic mail, to other people, even on the same system. They figured out that when you write down something, it does not have the same inflection. Like, I could be talking right now, I'm like kind of mostly here but not quite. Or I could start really yelling at you and getting really mad, and you would absolutely know that I'm actually getting mad at you. People noticed this, and so they started making, somebody probably pushed, you know, colon and closed parentheses, and they thought, whoa, cool. It's a smiley. I'm happy. And stuff. And started doing that to all their email. And several other documents they would print out stuff.
Yeah. I've been in countless arguments online due to people misinterpreting the tone of my, you know, what I said.
Well, you have AOL's imitation smileys, which are just little little yellow things with circles with like white dots for the two eyes and a nose and mouth. I hate AIM for that. The first thing I ever do whenever I like crash my system and I reinstall AIM, I immediately go in and say, disable graphical smileys. I much prefer this. All of these can put out so much more information, even if it's sometimes. The longest smiley I've ever seen is about 20 characters long. No, it just had a whole long description of the guy. You could have his whole description of his physical character was encoded in a smiley, and that's how he did it somehow.
Yeah, it's like
actually, an HTML
type code.
I'll see if I can't download AIM in just a second here, and I can show you what it looks like.
It's like an HTML type code where an AIM, these two symbols put together happen to equal this graphical picture. Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's AOL's attempt to take what's been traditionally, in other words, it's been halfway known by people who are on the internet to use smileys. Now that more and more people are catching on, it's more of a way of saying, we're going to standardize something that was originally part of the hacker subculture so that it can be easily accessible to anyone. The danger of this, of course, is that if AOL AOL is trying to get its hands on the smiley, as it were. It's trying to make it into an AOL product, as it were. By exactly.
AOL sucks.
Personal bias,
No, that's not a personal bias opinion. That's
the truth. It's truth, yes.
No bias at all.
Yeah. Let's see. How many people in the audience use smileys regularly in email or instant messaging? Okay.
That's real important.
Yes.
I misunderstood if you can't hear the sarcastic tone.
Yeah. One other thing I do.
Start sarcastic.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you can do that. One thing I do to emphasize text whenever I'm writing is if. Say when I'm writing a sentence, you know, you're not supposed to capitalize a word in the middle of a sentence. Sometimes I do that when I'm online to emphasize that one word. It's not a shouting word, which would be all caps. It's just like a strong emphasis.
That's what you do when you write letters, too.
But what I do is I'll say, like, this is what you need to be looking at. Or something along those lines, like in the middle of a sentence, I would capitalize this and not the whole word, just the T, and that would emphasize this particular one or something like that. Whereas if I was shouting, you know, I hate you, all in caps, would mean, you know, something totally different than just one or two. Let's see.
Yes, interjecting on another point. Smileys also, it isn't just smileys, just emoticons altogether. Really, though, a lot of us have sort of have you ever all had like a voice in your head whenever you're reading somebody's email? And it's probably totally different, not just from the way their voice, of course, but the way that they're probably talking as well, too. I mean, I've noticed this. It's like whenever I read email from one of the message boards, it's like the Xena thing, for instance. I'm on several Xena mailing lists, and I've never come to these people close at all, and yet I still have it in my head from prior experiences just with other people, how they may talk, how they may carry themselves, et cetera, et cetera. And then when I actually come to meet them at cons like this, it's just I'm totally blown away. You know, they don't have the mannerism styles I expect them to have, but at least emoticons, it helps sort of give themselves a certain distinction about it and know when they're actually going to be sarcastic, not only when they're going to be writing on email, but also when you actually meet them in person. So.
Yeah. One other quick thing I do whenever I'm online that I kind of developed about 2 years ago on AOL Instant Messenger is the developing that when you're online, you can't talk specifically about a certain thing. You have to put it like I use slash to mean like present and future or like my common thing on saying goodbye whenever I'm online is say, see.
Type it up here really quickly.
He does it all the time, every time you say goodbye.
that is what I usually type, in that I may see him. I may see Nimrod here. I may talk to him on the phone. I may instant message him or some other chance of meeting, and I'll see you later then. Bye. And I say that now to every single instant messaging I have. I say that at the end. Typically, I just say, howdy, or howdy, y'all, or something like that for entrance. I don't, well, yeah. But that's an example of what I can see is language has a barrier that people are trying to break in any means possible. This is just one way I found to break it.
One actually kind of cool, sort of cool thing that the new AOL Instant Messenger beta version has is a talk capability where if you both have microphones, you can talk to each other. And that's like basically free long distance, and the only setback is it's delayed about, I don't know, I guess a second or a second and a half. So when you talk, it doesn't actually get to the other end a second and a half until a second and a half later. But it's kind of cool because then you can use tone and everything, and I wish some other product would come out with something like that.
Dialpad, ICQ, any one of a thousand. I'll give you a list of links later. The plugins you can do for it. Via Voice can plug into it, I think.
I didn't know that either.
Voice over program. There are lots of plugins for Netscape and IE. You can do that voice over. Eudora has a voice over that you can plug in. Lots of stuff. If you go to plugins, like ICQ98A or whatever the version I have is, if you go to settings, external programs, and it'll give you a whole list of programs you can use.
Actually, now you have VIRC 97. That has, as far as it never loaded in my computer for some, I don't know, I would never figure that out. I still try to find what the bug was. But, isn't VIRC supposed to reportedly have voice capability?
Something like that. There are some IRC daemons and chat programs that do voice over the IP stuff. It's not that common because IRC is designed for text. That's why you have everything text with basic ANSI graphics.
Hopefully they go client to client.
Did you get a picture of that? Did you get a picture of that?
I just want to know if they're going to be posted on a web page somewhere.
Probably. Forget it. Long conversation.
I had a question for anyone in the room.
Yeah, why is your ear kind of blue?
Yeah, shut up. All right. Anyone in the room, including panelists, does anyone know if, like, in those chat rooms they have, they're like, I don't know, I think it's hearme.com that my dad gets onto sometimes, but it's like a chat room of everyone with voice capability. But I'd figure if you had a chat room like that, it'd be, like, all confused because y'all be trying to talk at one time and then you'd hear 9 voices at one time, and then be like,
it would just be like a CB or ham radio area where everybody does talk.
I was just like, or if you had to pick someone to send your talk to.
Actually, no, I know one thing. Excite has a chat room sort of thing with their own proprietary software. It didn't like my computer. It kept on crashing it. Don't ask me why, but it did. It could be my 28.8 modem connection doesn't like to do full voice capabilities yet. But what it is where you go in, you can chat amongst lots of people. Of course, most people, it's you get into one of the teen channels, and all I was doing is doing Beavis Butthead imitations to everybody, and that's all I do for hours upon hours. Connie, rather useless. I'll get to you in just a second there. But, yeah, Excite does have this program that you can do it, and you can either select, like, group, or you can select, okay, say, hi to Mary Jane from Austin or wherever that you've met and you know who she is or something like that. Or it is, because it's, wait a second. The guy.
Johnny X.
I just had a comment. I forgot to put this on the handouts. At SE2600. If you get on EFNet, we have a group, pound SE2600 IRC channel, and it's pretty damn secure. We got a decent botnet on there, and they're all pretty much linked, and we only occasionally have the bots go berserk and throw everyone out of the channel for days on end.
Except so. When you ping Flood Rattle out just to get him offline when he goes to DEF CON.
Yeah, well, we've
fix that
problem. We fixed that problem.
Is that on the homepage or like?
I don't know. I'm not sure what's on the homepage and what's not. We finally got the passwords to get back in there and start changing things again. So it's all overdue for major updates.
It's on EFnet. IOC.EFnet.com.org, whatever it is. Yeah, it's Merck.
Oh,
just like Delnet in a way.
Yeah, just try pound SE2600.
Well, you know,
we all hang out there.
Well, the new Merck, I mean, you know, it has listings for all. Well, it doesn't have listings so much as, you know, I mean, now it's what? Got everything from EFnet, UnderNet,
Delnet, GalaxyNet, and everything from one server to like 10,000 servers like Delnet does, or EFnet.
Yeah, for a while there, Delnet banned AOL people.
Yeah.
Really, it sucked because I was off of IRC for like 6 months.
Yeah. How many people here know what the term K-lined means? In return, in reference to system access. K-line, commonly used on IRC, means kill line. In that, when a system becomes abusive against the appropriate use policies and all, they will insert it into the K-line file. Anything from that domain name will not be allowed. Sort of think like the real-time black hole list. Except AOL got kicked off for like three months or so this past winter because they had lots of people, of course. When doesn't AOL have script kiddies that are trying to take over channels and stuff? Because of that, they kicked AOL off for 3 months. All of a sudden, they dropped almost 15,000 users of daily average. They went from like 48,000 average down to like 33,000. It's like, whoa, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, the reason for that is most proggies, little script kiddie proggies, are made with some version of Visual Basic 3.0 or higher. And all you have to do is a little application activate, and you type in America Online, and then you start hitting your send keys commands, which, like, you know, make all the macros or whatever, but some moron figured out that you could do the same thing with Merck, so. Another program.
Do you think that these new types of abbreviations and language and emoticons makes it, like, more difficult for someone who's unfamiliar with the Internet? Like, an older person, like, I know my parents, I'm trying to get them hooked up, and they're just frightened to death that they aren't going to know what's going on.
Yes, it does make it a lot harder for some people, kind of, because even some places you go in and another person that's familiar with the Internet might not know what they're saying, and you're like, what's that mean? And they're like, oh.
Well, so that, and it also reinforces the parental notion that since, you know, the net use is still mainly youth-dominated, and it reinforces the notion that kids are always talking in their own secret code or language so that they can avoid detection by adult authorities and whatnot of what they're actually talking about. No, believe me, I'm serious.
Yeah.
What had happened one time was in one of my education classes, the professor, she kept on saying about how when we were in the classrooms, we had to be careful about the kids who were talking in code or whatnot because they were trying to avoid adult detection. I argued with her. I'm like, no, it's just them trying to have a separate identity because language essentially equals identity, and they're trying to set themselves a separate generational identity largely. But, you know, even if the adults learned their language or whatever, it wouldn't really matter that much because it's still a mark of distinction on their part because it's their chance.
Either
to
that
have,
or why would the parents care? You know, sometimes it's, hey, look at Susie Q's new dress, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe something as simple as that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it may not be, but
a lot of times a couple people maybe a group of friends online will have the little code, you know, my parents watching over my shoulder, so watch what you say or whatever. You know, it's true.
There's a related thing. It's not exactly the language, but when a newcomer comes to an electronic community, and doesn't realize where the balance is between seriousness and just socialness and noise and whatever. And they come to a San Francisco 2600 meeting thinking they're going to learn something about technology, or they're going to be able to ask questions, and they don't realize it's one big party. And the same thing happens a lot online.
Same thing
too.
With our groups. Yeah, look at, I mean, how often has Johnny X and the others have tried to make a stuff happen at times? Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. I want to stand in defense of a couple of things here. One is compressed speech. I've had a typing injury. Tendonitis pretty bad for a couple years. So I tend to use a lot of abbreviations, and my friends online all kind of know why, and others probably just completely diss me. It's not that I need to replace my A's with 4's and my E's with 3's, but using the numeral 2 between two words instead of space, T-O, space, all that helps me, and it's kind of fun.
And people like look at you, hey, you're different. Sometimes that's cool.
There was a beautiful little piece of satire in The Economist about a month ago where with a completely straight face they bemoaned the loss of telegraphic speech because nobody sends telegrams anymore. And so all these devices people had come up with to make it fewer words and therefore not cost as much is an art that's just lost to our generation.
Look at the stock market, all those little symbols.
Yeah, well, I mean, and the obvious thing they're parodying is exactly what goes on in all these online mediums where we're just creating more and more. And most, you know, distinguished journals are bemoaning the loss of the English language to this stuff, and The Economist was playing it backwards. It was really pretty funny.
Another thing I want to mention is that sometimes online you'll have your own little communities that develop, and if you have one group of friends that starts hanging out, like I know for a while I had a group of friends online. I actually had about 50 or so friends I knew, and, you know, we had special little private chat rooms in AOL, because AOL like make private chat rooms, but you can go in there and just talk with your friends or anyone that knows the room name. But you have little communities that develop and start forming their own little languages too.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay, I'll make it quick. Mildly off topic. You were talking about telegrams. There's a really cool book I read recently called The Victorian Internet, and it talks about the telegraph system that existed at the beginning of the 20th century and the end of the 19th century, and how it evolved and developed, and how it became a very complicated global, worldwide network, and it also touches on a few other systems like France's pneumatic tube system, and they had some other systems like that in New York. Very interesting book, but they do go into one chapter about how people were trying to save money by coming up with little code words and compressing speech, and there are a lot of interesting similarities and parallels they had with encryption and codes and sending them across the telegraph networks, and who was using it and who didn't want it used and what they did about it. And I highly recommend it, The Victorian Internet.
It's funny because a lot of the telegraph operators were teenage boys, and they had this worldwide network that they would chat with themselves between messages and stuff.
Talk to Cheshire, actually. That would probably be the best person to talk to about text teletype-type stuff of nowadays.
When the phone system was being put into place, too, they tried pulling a lot of those teenage boys in and using them as a switchboard operators, and everything had to go manual. They had to stop that real fast because they were not polite. And if anyone ticked them off or if they were having a bad day, they have a lot of fun. So they had to pull them out real fast and replace them with the more polite ladies.
Yeah, there's actually a show on the History Channel that showed that and explained that very reason.
What I pulled up here on the screen is a couple of the most common short abbreviations. BRB, be right back. BBIAB, be back in a bit. Let's see what else is that I commonly use. BBS can either mean bulletin board system or be back soon. Huh? Which ones do we have? BTW, by the way. Most commonly read that. RTFM, read the friendly manual. these others that a lot of people write just because it's...
Hold on. I just figured this one out. It's like RTF... L, yeah.
The yeah, big waffle. Waffle mayo.
I am not a lawyer. Yeah. Teowaki, the end of the world as we know it. Let's go. Yeah.
Reiserig, what you see is what you get.
Never seen that one before.
What do you mean you've never seen Reiserig before? You've never gone to a download directory on HTML creators, have you? No. Text is, Notepad is good enough, isn't it?
It's dated.
It works. It's tried and proven, yes.
I've also never seen For What It's Worth.
For what is it? Yeah. Another thing people do for to say smiley, not only do they put in, you know, little smileys, you know, colon and parentheses, they may put in brackets, grin, or G, or may put a comma G in, at the end of a sentence. We've had a few flame wars erupt on the SC2600 mailing list because people forgot to put in grin or a smiley at the end of their statements. Thus, everybody took it seriously. And thus, we got into flame wars. Until people yelled back, "What the hell are you yelling at me for and flaming me? I didn't do it." Which actually brings me to something else. The word flame and other words like it, what they used to mean and what they can mean now. Flame, like a lighter flame, candle flame, match flame, you know.
Fire.
Yeah, it's fire. Flame on the internet. Massive, usually, cuss fest it could be. Doesn't always have to be, but unmoderated, massive amount of email traffic between two or more people that are not agreeable in terms. I guess this is the best way to describe the entire situation.
You can have flame wars and instant message, but that's more like a real-life argument.
Yeah.
The only difference between email is that you get more pissed off because you're waiting for your response.
Yeah. Actually, there is proof.
Waiting to see what the little bastard said.
Yeah, there is law precedence. I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago. A guy in the Midwest he and another person were put on probation. They were not allowed to be in the same city together. They were not allowed to be even use communication devices of any sort. They could not be in the same service, nor could they send email to a listserv either one of them, or if both of them were on, et cetera, because it got so heated. They actually started, one of the guys went to the other guy's town and started cussing out the guy in person. Thus, the judge put both guys in probation for like a few weeks off of all online services. Also, you cannot call, write letters, et cetera, because that would be a violation of probation on this. And they would have gone to jail then. They were also fined rather heavily for public disturbance. And this is actually a true case that happened several years ago. I don't think that really happens that often, but occasionally people do have a really bad side to them.
Anger management 101.
Yeah, wonderful thing to have.
I wonder how many keyboards they broke.
Yeah.
Oh, I had something.
What's the joke behind this PPN, programmer project number?
Huh?
I don't know enough about CompuServe to get it.
Oh,
it was an octal 9-digit address on disk of the users. Okay.
Which one on here?
PPN. Program project number,
ID
number.
I forgot one I commonly use. IMHO, in my humble opinion, or in my own humble opinion.
It's on there.
I know that, but I didn't say it as something. You use it a lot.
It's always sarcastic, though.
Not always. Like, I hate Microsoft, IMHO. In my humble opinion, I hate Microsoft sucks.
That's not sarcasm.
Some people think Microsoft is great, thus it's my opinion that Microsoft sucks.
Well, they're wrong.
Yeah, Flame War can develop over that easily.
Actually, when I first came onto the SC2600 mailing list, it was right in the middle of the Robert Costner Flame War, or one of them, and...
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and
bad experience.
I opened my mailbox one day and I had 150 mails, and that was just after checking it last night. And I was like, "Geez,
that's nothing."
And I was like 13 years old. And I was like, "This stuff is inappropriate."
I don't know. I'm just curious. How many people here receive 10 emails a day as average, or less?
Oh, less.
Okay. How many people here receive 50 emails or less a day?
How many? Less. Keep going. That means that you can go like one. So you got to say like 10
okay.
to 50.
10. Well, 10 to 50 emails a day on average. 50 to 100 emails a day on average. 100 to 200 emails a day. 200 to 400 emails a day. 400 plus emails a day. Actually, right now, my daily average for the past 3 weeks has been about 480 messages a day. Of course, it also has something to do with me being on over 300 mailing lists. I get really bad days, I get about 20 to 30 spams a day. On good days, I'm going to get like one or two. Average is about 5 to 10.
How many emails do you look at?
Almost everything on all the Freenet, all 8 Freenet lists, everything from Hope 2000, everything from SC2600, the Survival Ring, interfacing news groups for figuring out how stuff works, all the CNET dispatches I get, all like 10 of them.
That's funny, because if I read the header and it doesn't sound interesting, I delete it.
Yeah. I have almost every single Tip World email coming at me. I have every single Microsoft email dispatch coming at me for information. Apple e-news coming at me. And
you don't even use a Mac.
No, I don't, but it's interesting reading at times. Occasionally, I actually have some stuff interesting, even though they only publish it once a month.
The only thing that sucks more than AOL is Mac.
Hey, you have Mac people in the audience.
I don't care.
Macs are pitiful in some ways, but they're great in others. I would love them to do digital photography editing.
Graphics,
and,
definitely.
Graphics,
yeah.
Artist, and movie editing stuff. Yeah.
Nothing more about Mac.
Another element of online sarcasm is the is the troll. You know, the posting is designed just to rouse people.
Most commonly found on both Usenet and /dot.
And Keith Henson's one of the guys who's always in the lawsuits with the Scientologists because he's always revealing their top-level secrets on the net and such.
Is he operator of Xenu.net?
I wouldn't think so.
Xenu.net also, they do some revealing of Scientology.
There's a number of them out there, but H.K. Henson... is his handle, Keith Henson. He's in Palo Alto. I was walking through Palo Alto one day and came across a house that had this sign in the front that said, "Any Scientologist caught trespassing here will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law." And sure enough, it's Keith Henson's house. But he's got these court cases where the lawyers for the Scientologists brought up all these posts that were trolls, and they took it seriously, and this becomes a problem for him.
I'm ignorant. What is a troll?
A troll is anyone who... Yes, Maverick would be considered a troll sometimes.
Or a posting.
Once in a while, he may have like one little bit of good information. Most
like
time it's
a jerk on the mailing list, basically?
It's somebody that says, I'm trying to decide between Microsoft, Windows NT, and Linux. Does anyone have any suggestions? And you posted this on /dot. I mean, it's obviously just intended to waste a bunch of people's time and to see what kind of ridiculous rants they'll come up with by you doing it. That's a troll.
A BSD mailing list and going, Linux rules. You suck.
One of the cutest ones is the Unix haters manual. You read through that, and Simpson, Garfinkel, and the guys that did it are just brilliant because it walks the edge so beautifully all the way through. You can never tell if they get the joke or not. And related is the Barney page.
Yeah.
Which
stuff
is,
like
yeah.
There is a difference between troll and trolling.
Noun or a verb.
Yeah, besides grammatical sense. A troll is the individual person who wants to do this stuff. Trolling is, I believe, the actual doing of it. You find a lot of times on Usenet news groups, a lot of people troll all the time, and it's the act of trolling, where people will come up and they'll put some absurd comment on some Usenet news group. that says you should all go to jail or something like that, and it's doing stuff stupid like stuff like that. Teach me the art of hack. No, teach me art of hack. We actually got an email on that in the 2600 mailing list.
Singapore, was it?
No, what?
Singapore was the source, right?
Yeah, Singapore. A guy from Singapore. Yeah, that one. People like that should just be like kicked off and be put back a few years in a maturity stage, I guess it'd be the opposite.
Taken out back and shot is more like it.
Well, yeah, that could help in many cases too. I mean, look at Slashdot. Look at all the trolls in Slashdot.
What's really funny is if you go into the Lido chat rooms and on AOL where all the people think they're cool and they're like, can someone teach me how to hack? And he's like, I don't know, only if you'll give me a good prog.
I've also seen trolling used, like if there's a social group, like in St. Louis, we have people that are discussing some subject, and then somebody comes out of the blue and posts, hi, I'm a single white male, 32, anybody want to go out with me? And that's a classic example of trolling.
Yeah, or speaking like in an MP3 news group or something like that, also says, hi, I'm like a 22-year-old male. Any 18-year-old girls want to chat with me or something like that? They're actually. I've been in a few MP3 channels and other various channels. I'm in on IRC a lot. People will do that. Various ages, various gender preferences. Sometimes it's is more appropriate. Just because you never know. But and that's something. That is trolling. Totally off-topic postings of any form.
Actually, question. You're familiar with the difference between synchronous and asynchronous modes of online communication, right?
Yeah.
Which of these do you think trolling would be much more effective for the troller, as it were?
I didn't understand.
Okay.
What does asynchronous and synchronous have to do with troll and troller?
Well, I didn't say it. No, I wasn't making a distinction there. You see, asynchronous is like email and news groups. In other words, you post a message, and then it takes a little time for you to get a response because it's somewhere stored on a server. Whereas synchronous would be a chat room. That would be the classic example because it's ongoing and whatnot. Yeah, real time. So
like
the question,
IRC. Like IRC.
Yeah, like IRC. So the question is that in asynchronous, you have much more time to prepare an effective response. But then again, if you can do it on chat, maybe you don't have enough time. But if you can actually nail something in that regard, then maybe you won't get respect, but maybe as much as more revulsion, as it were, if that's what you're looking for. So.
If you want to have a snowball effect that disrupts things for days and possibly weeks on end, if you're really good at it, then you go with the news groups and the email.
Yeah, we've had some really good people. Well, actually, I've only remembered two things. Robert Costner was the one. There was another guy who decided to do death threats or something, or cursing out a couple of people in the Tennessee portion of the SC2600. He lived, like, in Memphis, Tennessee or something. I don't remember whatever happened. And said lots of strange stuff about people on the list, and a couple people were either law enforcement or new law enforcement people personally, and said the guy was just BSing his way, trying to think, you know, I know the mayor of this such and such town, he can come in and do such and such. Little idiots. Yes, tapping this makes a noise. sorry. Rats. Missed one. Oh, well.
Any questions and or answers?
Okay. Yeah.
Run faster with Mike.
Yeah, mule.
Real quick, I'd like to say I think that punctuation serves a very important role in
commas.
Communication. And I want to know if anybody disagrees?
No, I agree.
Or if you see punctuation going away, my point is, do you see punctuation going away or do you see people continuing to use it? Because in some groups they use it, in some groups they don't. And I'm wondering what the predominant trend seems to be.
Yeah,
I think it serves a very good point, because if you're pissed off at someone, you can put by period
and it's just more serious. You're like,
bye. A lot of times you do need commas because otherwise you start getting like really odd fragments, and people can't figure out like, okay,
parentheses
you went from
help
here
a lot
to there.
If you're having, like, three conversations at one time with the same person.
Yeah, I do that with him. Whenever we have like five or six different subjects, I start putting in one parenthesis, close parenthesis, such and such a subject. And sometimes we go up as much as 5 to 10 parentheses for any subject, and depending on how many parentheses, you know which conversation it was going to.
Okay, one of the things I've noticed when you say punctuation, and it does depend upon the age group, because there are some coming up that literally it's not being taught.
Yeah, most middle schools and high schools,
they
don't teach grammar
anymore. They don't
know
how to use punctuation. Just literally, they don't know it. And you're going to find it more unless it's corrected.
Please wait for Mike. Remember that, please. Thank you.
I disagree because I see the students both ways. I see them online, and I see them in what they turn in. And many kids are quite good writers. But, boy, once you get online, everything that they do in class goes away. So it's another, I think, good example of what you're talking about in terms of how the language is mutating and changing
for
in cyberspace.
For me, it's sometimes hard to write a real letter because I always want to write with, like I do on AOL with, like,
emoticons,
you know,
and stuff.
No capital letters or anything, or no punctuation, and then I always want to do the little spell the short words, like U for you.
I've found that if somebody really kind of ticks you off, taking advantage of their inability to correctly use grammar and punctuation can be
geezer
useful.
that is a current
so, I mean, the,
right
a
now
great way to piss
list.
Somebody off is to send the message that they just sent you back and correct their grammar and their spelling and punctuation. And
Johnny X, how about that for geezer? That's not good. Okay, we'll do that next time you post a message. His mailing ideas were originally doing really, really bad spelling, absolutely no spell check capability on his entire computer, and
or at least he doesn't know how to use it.
Yeah.
Okay. On the punctuation of the letter, a paper letter versus email, it could be a psychological. Like, you know, on the email, it's a lot easier to do. It's a lot more casual. And
people
don't think about it as much.
Compared to formal writing.
Well, sitting down to write a letter, I mean, that's like, you know, something our parents' generation did all the time. And it's much more formal air about it, so to speak. You know, you don't sit down and write a formal email to a business. Some people write it to businesses, but not all the time. Most people I know write it to other people. What are your views on that?
I can see that happening. I, for one, find it much easier to write on a computer, writing any form of paper or report, than writing it out by hand. Main reason is I can use cut and paste. It is a wonderful tool. I don't have to go to the Oh, crap. Now what was my thought? I forgot it all.
I don't know. I'll go ahead and say what I was going to say. Wow, that's loud. Cool. you know, people have different conversational and speaking styles. It depends on the circumstances, how formal or informal you're going to be. And it's the same thing with the online community and even writing letters. I mean, you certainly write some letters differently than you write other letters. It's the same thing with email and online chat. In IRC, that flows a lot like conversation, punctuation, and capitalization aren't really that important because you're not writing at great length. You're spitting out short bursts of information. A long, detailed email or Usenet post, you're going to be a bit more formal about. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah,
feel free to tear that apart.
I started correctly punctuation marks in my mail, so when I sit down to write a real letter, it kind of feels like writing an email. So I don't do the little AOL chat thing.
I'll go ahead and second what Johnny said. It's really true. It's a matter of formality. And I've had this debate with college English professors about this. They're just like, you must use correct punctuation always. Always. Capitalization, always. I'm like, no. When I'm just going to say, you know, 10 words to somebody in an IRC channel, I'm just going to, like, type it. I'm not going to worry about capitalization. They don't really care. But when I'm writing to somebody who cares, I'll use it. And, you know, it's not a matter of that I haven't learned it. It's not a matter of, you know, thinking any differently. It's just a matter of, it's the difference between talking to a professor and talking to a fellow student. It's that different.
Well, actually, for your professor, there might be a little bit of paranoia in there. For instance, how many of you have read 1984, George Orwell? Yeah, how many of you remember Newspeak, for instance, the destruction of words and whatnot?
It's not bad, it's ungood.
Yeah, exactly. So they're trying to make a parallel here that dude speak, or maybe even the informal jabber that goes on in cyberspace, they feel that this is the way of destructing the English language so that we won't have as many thoughts to deal with, so therefore we can become more easily repressed. But when you actually, yeah, that's the fear among especially professors and whatnot, is that we'll actually limit our we'll limit our liberty by talking in this new dude speak, or talking where we don't exactly use punctuation in the right places. But when you think about it, new words are actually being created, not those that can actually express different emotions than or different ideas than what we've actually been used to. So in some ways, I think that fears are going to be unwarranted because people already know. All right, I'll finish up. People already know about English language, and they already know the correct usage. You're not really destroying words. We're just creating a whole new paradigm by which to operate on in cyberspace.
I think, I don't know if it's an actual word in the English language dictionary yet or not, but the slash dot effect. It is the effect of whenever a news site, specifically Slashdot or another major news site, posts a link to another website that is controversial in nature. That the effect is that that site will gain a very, very large amount of hits in one day or a matter of minutes. And the slash out effect is that.
And become unavailable.
Yeah, become unavailable typically because, like the many web servers, they all go down really quickly.
Just in response, a lot of English professors that I know and a lot of basically linguists in academia are trying to do with English what has been done with French and what happened to Latin. They're trying to freeze the language and say, ooh, we have a perfect language now. Let's keep it this way. And it's not. It's a live language. It evolves.
Listen, they already thought Norman French was the perfect language in 1066. Okay? 300 years later, you've got Chaucer basically talking in this kind of, what, voodin, unsolvin, and whatever when he's telling the Canterbury Tales. 300 years, that's a pretty big difference. Actually, first of all, Norman French was nothing like Chaucer. Then go 300 years from Chaucer to Shakespeare, right? And from there, you know, I mean, you can at least, you, there's a big difference there, but look at from Shakespeare to now, it's approximately the same amount of time, but at least we can better reference Shakespeare's language than Shakespeare's day could actually reference Chaucer in some ways, because there are more written records as time goes on. I mean, 1,000 years from now, the English language, maybe, you know, this, I know you can go wrong predicting.
Maybe Chinese instead of English.
Could be. But no, actually, my point is that, you know, this is predicting, but in 500 years, I don't think we're going to see too much of a difference from in language in the future than we will now, because we have so much written records to fall back on. So, you know, but then again, it's the hubris of every age to think that they're having the perfect language right now. I mean, it's just a given of mankind. Yeah, Spanglish.
It'll be Spanglish in 500 years. All what is it? I read somewhere. Correct me if I'm wrong. But like since 1890 or something, all new Spanish words are also new English words.
Yeah. That's messed up.
You know,
I don't want to learn Spanish.
Or almost all of them.
This panel is technically
the
over,
Real Academia so. Español will not. They're keeping the Spanglish words out of really really official Spanish. So there there may be two levels of
them.
Computadora. Yeah. No. I know. I'm just saying they do have this, like the French, they do have this Royal Academy. What I wanted to say, though, and I think to me it's been really fascinating to watch the change in the amount of written speech that's taking place, though. I mean, that's a change in language from the impact of the telephone was that a lot of our communication went from being speech to being oral communication. And oral communication through television and radio and oral communication became extraordinarily important. Now we're turning back to written speech. And that's a big change in the language.
I know. You would not believe. When I was in historiography, we all lamented the invention of the telephone because now no longer was correspondence recorded. Now we couldn't even make, you know, we couldn't even make do with how leaders and even, you know, day-to-day persons from 1876 onwards would actually carry on conversations. Whereas, you know, there's a wealth of letter writing, especially during the Civil War. I mean, my gosh, you just go through soldiers' letters. It's a very rich tapestry there. And now that we have email, like, for instance, you know, Iran-Contra would never have been made what it was, or we have never discovered as much, if there wasn't email exchanges between Ollie North and John Poindexter. I mean, seriously, now historians of the future, I think, are going to have a lot more to work with now that we have this online discourse, you know, have records.
Oh, two quick comments, since I don't have many comments yet. The referencing the cyberspeak and how it's repressing the how people think, I personally don't think that's the case. I think it's more what political correctness is doing. And as for, as my own opinion, of course. And the second one, for French trying to stay the same and, you know, saying it's above everything else, currently there's case after case of the French government's mad because websites aren't in French. Like Georgia Tech Lorraine, the French unit of Georgia Tech, they were getting hassled to put everything in French. Like, I could be, I may misremember this, but they wouldn't even let anything in English at one point. I mean, they're like falling behind the times, so... For languages, same as everything else, seems the motto is simple, change or die.
Well, come on. I mean, it's the French. You can never be too protective of their language, at least for them. I mean, they are total netophobes because the English language has, you know, I mean, English was already becoming the universal language. You know, every airport controller has to know it. Even the universal phonetic alphabet is based on the English language. I mean, the French, though, I mean, they French especially are very possessive of culture. Culture hogs, I guess you could say. In other words, what?
They invented it, if you ask them.
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
They did everything, if you ask them. But hey.
Yeah. Oh, see, that's Flame one bite. Thing I have a kind of a not really a problem with. I'm just kind of curious why most European countries have to learn English anyway as a side language, and they start learning it young. So why not just switch to English altogether? It'd be a lot easier.
Well,
on the rest of the world.
You know, then you've got cultural domination and whatnot going on.
I know they say the
Flame
cultural
war bait.
Okay, I know they say the cultural heritage thing, but I mean, if everyone else is speaking German, I'd go ahead and learn German and forget about English because, well, I guess that's a very American idea, I guess, but
it is because
it's IMHO.
On the play devil's advocate, it's kind of easy for us to say everyone should learn English, but we're on the winning side language wise.
I am AO in my American opinion.
I don't know.
Opinion.
Can anyone really win? No.
It's IMAO, in my American opinion.
Yeah.
Well, if we can go all over the world and everyone speaks our language, then technically we may have won.
Well, I got to go with you, man. If French was the dominant language, I'd be learning to speak it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's again...
But, yeah.
That's probably again because we're Americans.
Yeah, actually...
Well, yeah, but this is very American...
The
I took 4 quarters of it, I'm kind of crappy. But if I was going to go to Mexico, I'd put my book back up, and I'd be crappy conversant in a week and okay conversant in 3 weeks. I can order a beer. I can tell her she's good looking. Okay, I can say get out of my way. I mean, and you know,
Interesting kind of my Latin teacher was pointing out that American ideas like that are, well, I had said the same thing in my Latin class, and he had actually said that he asked the class because it's probably because we were young, but he was like, name 2 American poets, and no one even could name one. And then I said, name two American writers, and again, no one could name any. Well, I think someone named one, but it couldn't name two, and that's the thing about a lot of American, especially teenagers, is that
they just don't
the
care
culture
anymore.
Thing is just they don't care, and I guess some people think that's sad. Some people don't care, and you know, I guess it's just a matter of an opinion.
Well, every country I've been to and met hackers, you know, their English has been quite usable. And I kind of know that if I didn't grow up speaking fluent English, I would be studying it instead of trying to get by in Hungarian and German and other languages I work on. But what I was going to say is I think as we go off, we should put up logs from SE2600, pound 2600, so that we can criticize each other's use of semicolons and stuff. And the pedants can really get their revenge.
Yeah.
Or I'll give you pound yak logs if you need them.
any more questions? Here we go.
I have a couple more things to talk
just about. Kind of to counter what you were saying before about, you know, if they're learning English anyway, why don't they just drop their original language? You could just as easily argue that why don't you just make a level playing field, have everybody learn Esperanto, since that's the easiest language to learn, and then drop their original languages.
Well, because we already know American, and no one's learning that right
who's
now.
Who's we?
We.
Have you ever heard the term ugly American?
What?
Have you ever heard the term ugly American?
Not really.
If you leave the U.S., you'll probably hear it a lot. You will probably hear it a lot.
Yeah. Well, see, no, I've heard that because my world geography teacher travels a lot, and she said every other country, they just hate Americans, and they hate American tourists. And
you want to know why they hate American tourists? Because a lot of American tourists dress up in fancy clothes sometimes. I think, they dress up as slobs. They go out like, you know, the Bahama shorts and T-shirts and stuff and sandals, wandering around in some place. Don't know a thing about local customs, cultures, how to speak a language, and they have the little
AAA
planner.
Really?
Top 10
I'm
things
serious.
To say in a different language.
Really, they hate how you behave.
Yeah, well, you may be like pompous.
And the Czechs don't like the Germans coming in and behaving exactly the same way. And it's not Americans or America. It's really the way people tourists behave.
Yeah.
Used to be the ugly Brits. It used to before that, this. I think the French. But.
Yeah, what you're saying, you know, when they go overseas, it isn't particularly the language, but it is Americans.
It's
because I know when we have traveled and everything, we kept getting asked, are you sure you're Americans? Because we dressed decently for where we were, you know, and we didn't act like slobs and shout and scream. And if somebody didn't understand, you didn't start shouting louder as though they were deaf, you know. And unfortunately, you will find a vast majority of Americans who travel have no etiquette or anything. It was pitiful.
When I go abroad, what I always tell people is I say, you know these people, these Americans that really bother you? Yeah, we pay them to come here.
We get rid of them.
They leave because we won't tolerate them, so they come bug you.
Yeah. Actually, about etiquette and stuff, that's an important thing. How many people here have ever read a netiquette file, or the official, one of the official, semi-official netiquettes for the Internet? Now, the best thing probably ever created for the Internet of how to speak and make sure you're understood by everybody else, such as no yelling in caps. I hate it too.
People that sit with
you know
the caps
what?
Lock
I have,
all day.
Yeah, I have some people at work who love to respond to emails to our tech support because of that, because they say, your site isn't up. You should get it fixed now, and caps. And it's like, no, duh, we know the site is down. The site is one wall over. It is on that server over there. We can't touch it. And the network administrator has to come in and push the button. Then it will be fixed. And we've had other things like that. That too. And other stuff like netiquette, as we were discussing earlier, trolling and off-topic posting. Not a good idea. Don't be a flame bait for people. Look for a while.
Nothing wrong with a heated debate once in a while.
Yeah, debates are good. Constructive criticism is good.
One kind of a comment. I know a lot of Americans should be more respectful of other people's cultures, I guess, and especially over in the that's Eastern Africa region over there in Kenya or whatever. They hate American tourists, and if they see one, it's an automatic bias to, like, you know, bad, treat bad, don't give any respect. But that's kind of funny considering we're giving them nearly half their economy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, also, you must admit how a lot of people... do you have heritage from Kenya or Nigeria or anything right on the eastern coast? Or have you been here many generations? Nothing biased. I'm just curious really quickly.
Sorry.
Me? Yeah.
I'm not anywhere from that region. I'm from the Caribbean.
Oh, okay. Much different area.
Yeah, well, not really in the way they treat Americans.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, much different land, geographical displacement. But you must admit that nothing biased against anybody who looks at this. Americans and people for a long time thought white people were supremacist and they were higher than everybody else. That's the whole reason why a lot of the slavery happened in the U.S. Yeah, it was a whole European thing, and before that, yeah, everybody had slaves of some sort. Of course, now we see that it's bad, but it's still not quite completely fixed yet, but everybody's...
Yeah, that was also like 100 years ago.
So. But, so you know, people keep grudges for long periods of time.
People are stupid, too.
Yes. Get rid of idiocy in the world. Promote common sense, even though it doesn't always work, wonders. People would treat others badly, and all of a sudden you get, you know, generation after generation of saying, people here are bad.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Those people are bad, and all of a sudden they see a few come in.
I don't want to sound discouraging, but preaching to about 30... if 30 people isn't going to do a whole lot for the world.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Preach to the choir.
I'll skip that.
Anyone here is pretty much, you know...
Well, I can tell you pretty much in the Caribbean from my experience. In the Caribbean, most of the problems with Americans is at the political level.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily start when the person flies in and you hear them and you see them and you dislike what you hear or see. But it's when you start with the whole immigration progress, the process. You go into the embassy to try to get a visa. And that's another thing. You require a visa to get into the States. But in the United States, don't require a visa to get into the Caribbean. If you just fly in, you can, whatever, whenever you feel like. But when you go to the embassy, try and get in, they make you wait for hours without first having seen them. There's no contact. You wait for hours.
We don't like our government either.
but you see the impression that it's giving. And when you do get there, they ask you questions that are completely irrelevant to the fact that you're going to the States.
Don't be misled by our government. They're nothing like us.
I know.
The few rule the many by imitation of power and stuff like that. Or the threat of force. So, yeah. Okay.
Any final questions, comments?
And, you know, if you ask the average American, they probably think that you can just get on a plane and fly to America to come visit. They would be shocked to think that you just can't show up and come to America and stay in a hotel and come by. So they'd be like, well, you mean you can't just get on that airplane and fly up here? You know, yeah. Well, they're going to be shocked. Even the rude ones are going to be shocked that you can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you stayed a day longer than they let you, they question you, why were you there, what were you doing, account for every hour. And it's not like they do this in private. They do it in a booth with a microphone. So it's coming over the loudspeaker, and so your business is being aired to the entire room full of people waiting from all over the Caribbean to get a visa to come to the States for whatever length of period.
Well,
so it's...
Again, we don't like them either.
Yeah.
A lot of...
So you, it's right there. It starts there. It starts in the embassy. So you have that coming out of the embassy. Nobody wants to go in there. Everybody's saying, America, America, America. And then when Americans do come in, then they're just looking at them with that sentiment in mind.
Yeah.
Well.
So you're getting blamed kind of unfairly for what the government's process is the treatment of people from other countries.
Sure. Well, a lot of it is also because America's had a history of isolationism, especially kind of the fear of foreigners, as it were. And really the
which is bizarre for a country based on immigrants.
Yeah, exactly.
The melting pot.
Double thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of the whole fear, as far as immigration goes, that's one thing. And two, a lot of our immigration laws currently are actually a legacy of the Cold War. For instance, usually like the Caribbean, for instance, that was always a hotbed. Yeah, hotbed because of Cuba and whatnot. And of course,
part of the Caribbean, that's the part that kills me. Anybody who thinks, oh, I live in the Caribbean, you never remember that Cuba's there. We don't acknowledge them at all.
Uh-huh.
But then Cuba's, you get lumped together mysteriously with Cuba and Jamaica, and we're like, but we're better than them. They have no economy. Why are you lumping us with them?
Mm-hmm.
Americans never were very good at geography.
Geographically.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
People
they
can't even figure out where
what... in Jamaica, like, they didn't hear Caribbean islands, plural. There's not one island in the Caribbean. So how is every island in Jamaica?
Yeah.
And those little things like that take you off, and then you
just... I don't know. A lot. You should see how many American teenagers can't figure out where Washington, D.C. is.
Seriously, it is a statistic that 40% of the people that graduate high school cannot find the United States on a world map.
I doubt that.
No, I'm serious. But if you, I looked at a U.S. map, and someone asked me where Texas was. I've had people ask me where Oklahoma was. I've had people ask me
where is Georgia.
What the difference?
I can't find Georgia on a map. I live in Georgia. I've lived in Georgia my whole life. I can't find it. No.
I've had people ask me the difference.
It's much higher in Texas.
Blame it all
on
the
its own country.
Hey.
I mean, I know that statistic sounds unreal, but it's more than likely true.
Blame it on the CIA for old maps.
But
they get Chinese embassy people killed.
Yeah. I guess a couple of quick things I'm going to do before we go. How many people here have heard of the Jargon file? Yes. Wonderful thing. I have 175 pages out of 593. His dad.
My dad couldn't print it in time.
Didn't cost him or his dad anything. It cost HP a few dollars, but that's okay. But what this is, it is a dictionary. Basically, instead of the American English Dictionary, any computer term you want to know and exactly history thereof. Let me find an example. Let's see. I'm just trying to find something that I know someone about. I know that. Hold on a second.
We may not know that.
Say clone. It does an exact duplicate. A shoddy spurious copy. A blatant ripoff. A PC clone, or various rip-off of that, and the a software clone, or any version thereof. And just anything you want to know about computer-related terms, find a copy of the Jargon file. www.jargon.org is your friend. And it's updated rather often, every time new words come out. Wonderful thing about language and all. For that. And also, I want to tell you something I found. James Dean gave this as a link from a site called clicks.com. 10 things I hate about the web business. I'm not going to read just but a few quotes in it. It's by Sean Carton, a writer for him. Number one, the definition of e-commerce. Is anyone out there really sure what e-commerce means anymore? At one point, e-commerce meant selling things online with secure transactions. Now it seems to mean anything that has to do with business online. No, not the whole thing. I'm just reading a small section of it. Anything to do with business online that's too complicated for mere mortals to understand.
There was actually a post on the SE2600 list called Hating E-Dash or E... little dash sign, and it was actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, E-dash everything.
E-izing everything.
Yeah. Such that, you know, e-business, e-commerce, e-traffic, e-talk, you know.
E-money.
Yeah, e-money, anything you want to do. E does not mean as much quite anymore.
It means electronic.
Yeah.
I'm going to close your shipping notepad.
Okay, go ahead and close it. Does somebody else have a comment, question? That's basically it. I have a copy of it up here. I was unable to receive permission from the editor of this thing to distribute it. I was given permission to quote out of it and give you the link to it if you want it. So it's up here if you want to take a look at it.
There's another language or written language that was used in our country quite a bit some years ago. My mother tried to teach it to me, and, of course, I didn't pick it up. And that is shorthand, very much used in business and such, just like we're talking here. It was the way to take notes, a very quick way to take down information, and very stylish because someone else could read it. Yeah, it is hard. It's a lost art, but now that went on to tape recorders. You could pat your foot, and the tape recorder would start. The notes would be given and then given to a secretary to be transcribed, so they didn't need shorthand again. And now with the email and such, it's just another...
Yeah, the voice programs did, so once again, as soon as everybody learned it, it would be obsolete at that point.
Yeah, another evolution of how we transmit information.
Well, that's one thing. I don't like voice programs. Well, someday they won't, but that's going to be a long ways off before they...
Someday is not now.
Well, okay, voice recognition has been around for a while, but only recently have we actually had the processing power so you could do reading as fast as you want almost, well, not quite as fast. You could talk about as fast as I'm talking right now, and the computer will pick it up. It used to be on, like, early Pentiums you would have to do Wednesday, June 14, 2000. Yeah. 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 I personally don't like it because you have to have the training thing. Also, if you mumble over a word, all of a sudden it goes, whoa, what is this? I don't know what it is. Let's just put some random... Yeah. But when you're talking, you know what you mean. Somebody else a lot of times may understand. You can repeat it really quickly, or they'll catch the drift of what you're saying.
To interrupt and say we have to go because there's 5 minutes before the next panel, and they need time to set up the recording crap.
It was not really that. It's just the closing comments by Scott there, and
All right.
Anybody else want to have any last comments or anything like that?
Thank you for coming.
Yes,
thank you for coming. And we'll see you next year, I guess.